this morning. And during the first part, we're going to think a little bit about who God is. And I wonder, when you think about God, what kind of words you associate with God? What sort of characteristics or attributes does God have? How would you describe him? So, for instance, you might say God is strong or God has strength. What else might you say? Do you want... kind in love? God is love. God is love. Thank you. What else? Just. Thank you. What else? Holy. Thank you. Forgiving. All powerful. Good. Eternal. Great. These are fantastic words, aren't they, that talk about who God is. And when we think of God's attitude to us, we often use words like grace and love and compassion. And I think the only problem is because we hear those words a lot, they become very familiar. So I thought this morning we'd look at other words that pop up in the Bible that can be translated as kindness. And we're going to listen to some Bible verses, and I have some lovely volunteers who were dragooned into reading the Bible verses for us. And we're going to start by listening to Isaiah 63, verse 7, followed by Jeremiah 31, verse 3.
I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses.
The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness.
Thank you. Thank you very much. If you'd like to turn the microphone off for a minute so it doesn't start buzzing, that would be grand. So what we heard in those verses was about God's kindness, his kindnesses. And I had a look at the Hebrew word that is used to describe this, and it's the word hesed, which I'm sure I've now pronounced wrongly, but I will tell you a little bit about what it means. And I came across various descriptions of this word. It's a complex, rich word that can be translated loving kindness, mercy, love, grace, loyal love. And that's the kind of love you show if you've entered a covenant relationship or agreement with someone. So it stands for a cluster of ideas, love, mercy, and kindness. It includes all those lovely positive things about God. And then somebody else said that it's the quality that moves someone to act for the benefit of someone else without considering what's in it for me. And I thought that was really quite nice. You're moved to act for the benefit of someone else without considering what's in it for me. And if you're familiar with the Old Testament, you'll know that all the time, God was constantly acting on behalf of his people. And even when they sinned and he was angry with them, that anger didn't last. His heart was always moved with compassion. He was forever rescuing them from the situations they were in. And that's why I think Isaiah and Jeremiah talk about being confident in speaking of the kindnesses of the Lord. But if we move forward in time, we have a tremendous privilege because we see the full extent of God's kindness. And we're going to listen to another couple of verses now, we're going to listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7.
And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus.
Thank you. So these verses tell us that God has shown us the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And really, you know, that has to be the ultimate kindness, doesn't it? That God didn't count the cost, didn't think what's in it for me, because what was in it for him was the suffering and death of Jesus. But he went ahead for our benefit. And the Greek word that's used in that little reading from Ephesians, if we have a look at the next slide, and again, I will probably be pronouncing this wrong, but it is Christostes, and it talks about being benign, kindness, usefulness, gentleness. It mellows anything that could be harsh or austere. And I think that's so true, isn't it? We see in Jesus the gentle kindness of God. He hasn't been harsh towards us. He hasn't said, okay, I love you, but you're going to have to work hard to win my favor. He hasn't asked for anything up front, but he's given of himself to us. I'm going to have a little bit of building work done around my house. And when I was researching builders and what you're supposed to do, there were various internet places that said, well, you have to talk to them about what sort of payment plan there's going to be, because they might decide that you need to pay part of it up front before they'll go ahead. So I thought, right, okay, I better remember that. But here, God doesn't ask for anything up front. He just goes ahead and gives to us in Jesus. And there's a beautiful passage in Isaiah, which I often think of when I think of God's kindness, where it talks of God as a shepherd carrying the lambs close to his heart. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. And I wonder if you have known the kindness of God to you in your life. The kindness that offers you a way back to him if you stray. The kindness that carries you close in times of trouble. And I'm just going to put something on the stage for us to look at. You can tell that I didn't do art at school. But this is meant to show us that God's heart is kind. His heart is kind towards us, even when life is very difficult. And I'd like to encourage you now just to take a moment to close your eyes and think back over the last weeks, maybe months, maybe back over your whole life. And I want you just to ask yourself, where have I seen the kindness of God in my life? We're going to have a little think about us now. The other day I was thinking, I wonder what sort of church we are. I don't know if you ever find yourself thinking about this. And I was thinking, well, are we a sort of high-achieving church? Are we sort of full of people who are on a great career path, getting to the top of their profession? Do we emphasize everything that we're achieving? And then I thought, well, we do have people who have done very well in their jobs. but we don't really make a big song and dance about it. And then I thought, well, are we loud? You know, are we always getting our name in the papers because we're doing stuff in Newcastle? And I thought, well, no, we tend to be a bit quiet rather than loud. And I started to think, well, what are we then? You know, are we a bit of a nothing church? And then I thought about our community barbecue a few weeks ago. I don't know how many of you were there, but those of you who were, I don't know how you felt when you looked across the car park and you saw all the tables and people were sitting and chatting and people had brought friends and family and people were speaking to people that they didn't know. And I thought, you know, I think we're probably a gentle church. I think we can be a kind church. But I thought I would test that out this morning. And this is kind of the scary bit, because I'm going to ask you to share a few things, whether you've been shown kindness by people in the church over the past few weeks. And I'm not going to ask you to name names, but just to say what somebody has done that has been an act of kindness. And to sort of kickstart it, I'll say somebody texted me a couple of weeks ago to say that they'd prayed for me. And to me, that was a very kind act. And I'm going to come and get the microphone and take it around and hope that you'll have the courage to say if people have been kind to you. So who's going to be brave and stick their hand up and say, yes, I've been shown kindness. Thank you, Jenny.
I'm not very well at the moment, and I've had text messages and phone calls and invitations, and I've just been shown love and care by several members of the congregation.
Thank you for that. Okay, Brenda.
When you pray for me, or people pray for me when I've got problems.
People have prayed for you when you've had problems and when you've been poorly. Great. Thank you. And we need to pray for Sandra, who's going in hospital on Thursday. Did everybody hear that? So can we pray for Sandra? That would be great. Corey's waving his hand.
Everyone sang happy birthday to me.
Did they? Oh, everybody sang happy birthday to Corey at the church barbecue. That's really kind. Isn't that wonderful? Great, thank you. Anybody else?
I had a cataract operation about 2 weeks ago, and I've had phone calls and people said they would pray for me, and I had lots of flowers delivered from the church, and they're still nice now, you know. It's nice to know that people are thinking of you and care about your well-being. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Oh, some more hands, more hands. I'll come to you in a minute. I saw a hand, Lillian.
I can't say it, just...
Lillian wants to say thank you to everybody for all the kindness shown to her.
I just know, too, that a lot of invitations to meet up and get to know people has been wonderful. And this past week, Colin has been showed great kindness with several people that he's getting to know here in the church as well to make his birthday wish come true.
Okay, that's terrific. And I'm just going to put the microphone back. Okay, that's wonderful, and I'm also mightily relieved that there has been all this kindness being shown round, which sort of confirms what I had thought. So kindness matters, it really does. And we're going to listen to two verses from the New Testament. Two readings from the New Testament. Colossians 3, verses 12 to 13. And then Ephesians 4, verse 32.
Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you.
Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
Thank you. So those two things go together, don't they? Kindness and compassion and forgiveness. And we who have been shown such kindness from God through Jesus are to pass that kindness on to others, not to be harsh, but to have that gentle kindness that God has for us, not passing judgments, but passing on forgiveness as we have been forgiven. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I have another artwork for you. Now, what this is meant to show, and you might need to get a bit closer to it afterwards to see, is that when we get caught up in God's heart, because we've said God's heart is kind, when our hearts get caught up in God's heart, then our hearts also will become kind, and the Holy Spirit works in us to bring out kindness. But I would just say that we do have to work at it, because that verse in Colossians says, clothe yourselves with kindness. And any of you who've ever had to get up and rush out to work in the morning will know that, unfortunately, your clothes do not magically leap out of the wardrobe and land on you just so that you can rush out of the door. You have to go and find clothes and put them on. And we are to put on kindness in our dealings with one another. And that might mean just chatting to somebody who's on their own over tea and coffee. It might mean any of the many things we've heard this morning, ringing somebody, inviting them round, praying for them and letting them know. But it's deliberate. So God encourages us to look out for one another, to clothe ourselves with kindness. Don't think that somebody else is going to be the one who will look out for that lonely person. God may very well be asking you to take that action and to care. So just have a little think about your own heart. Is your heart open to God? Is your heart open to others? Do you need to take that deliberate act of clothing yourself in kindness and looking at how we are called to be kind? And then we're going to now think about the power of kindness. And I think the microphone now needs to be passed along, please, to where Marion and her friend are sitting. And we're going to hear some verses from Titus, chapter 3, verses 3 to 5.
At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteousness, of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy.
Thank you. I don't know about you, but I don't think that our society is particularly kind. And I wonder, as you think back over the past few weeks, whether you have experienced unkindness as you've gone about your daily life. In the work that I do, we come across a lot of unkindness from people to other people who then come to us for help. We experience unkindness in what people say to us and the anger that they express to us when we haven't done what they've wanted. And it can be very wearying and very much of a burden. And Paul, in those verses, talk about people being enslaved to passions and living in malice and envy and hating one another. And that might sound like it's taking things a bit far, but I think there is a lot of anger and malice around. And the problem is that we get caught up in it. So I know that very often my response isn't one of kindness. I can be irritable, impatient, angry. And yet the more that that happens, the worse it is for people. And fragile people get more and more broken down. And God's chosen servant, Jesus, is described in Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 4, in a very beautiful way. And Marion's just going to read those verses to us now.
Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry aloud or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope.
Thank you. I really like that little image where it says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. And it makes me think of people who are so bowed down by the things that have happened to them that they're like reeds that have just been squashed in the middle. I don't know if you've ever seen that down by the river, just squashed. Or people who are so battered that it's as if their spirits are like a flame that's just at that point where it's going out and it's turning into smoke. And God's word says that Jesus does not come along and treat us harshly. He doesn't snap the reed. He doesn't snuff out the wick. He doesn't stamp on people who are at the end of our tether, their tether, and he doesn't expect us to either. And in fact, as followers of Jesus, if we act with kindness, it's a very powerful evangelistic tool because it's such a contrast with the way that people in society at large generally act. Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, talked about his determination not to be a stumbling block to anyone, but to commend himself as a servant of God. And he talked about kindness as being one of the things that commended him as a servant of God. It was an indication that he belonged to God. Kindness is a sign to people of God's love. And we know, don't we, that just a smile can have a tremendous impact on people. If we, as God's people, are a community of kindness, then it can be a welcome balm, a sort of safe haven in a very harsh and aggressive world. So as we practice kindness to one another within the church, we should spill out so that that kindness reaches out to those who are not yet belonging to God, and it can be a means of drawing them in to God's heart. And my third and final artwork is on its way. So here's God's heart, which is kind. Here's ourselves drawn in to God's heart so that we become kind. Here are the hearts of people who don't yet know that God is kind. And it's our job with our kindness to draw them in so that they become part of God's family. And what I would just like to say as well is, kindness is something that we can all do. You don't need a degree in theology. You don't need lots of GCSEs or O-levels or whatever it was when you went to school. All of us can be kind and practice kindness, and therefore all of us can be part of God's outreach into the needy world. So we'll just have a little moment of quiet again, and I'd like you just to think about yourself and your relationship with God, and whether you're willing to let God use your heart to reach out to others. And then we'll pray some prayers for the world.